Charmed, and welcome back to Let Me Ruin Your Life with me, Serena Shahidi. Hello. How is everybody? I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay this fine Thursday afternoon, sitting on my floor as per usual. Welcome back. I'm doing well. Summer classes are kicking my petite ass as per usual. I've said I'm taking 3 this month, and boy, oh boy, I can't wait for next month. When I'm done, I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to enjoy the summer. All right, I'm going to drink on a rooftop. I'm going to go to the beach, take the A train out to the Rockaways, and buy a couple pina coladas from some guy's big backpack. It's not the moment for that right now, because I have to, like, A, do data analysis for business applications. God bless my professor. Very sweet guy. It's not his fault that that subject is like that. And also, the weather in New York sucks right now. This week, it's so rainy. It's like 70 degrees. That's not warm enough for summer. It's room temp outside. If I wanted to be in a room, I'd be in a room. You know what I mean? I'd go inside. Sometimes I'm jealous of LA. I have to admit that. Just solely for the weather, and I guess the amount of space that they have, but sometimes I get jealous, because New Yorkers, they love to act like, oh, the weather in LA, that's not a plus there. There's something the matter with the weather in LA. We love to have seasons. And to that I say, what in the world is so great about seasons? What, you're freezing half the year? For what? To have an excuse to drink hot chocolate? Hey, you can drink chocolate milk as an adult. It's fine. You ever go, as an adult, tell me the truth, be honest with me. You ever go for a Yoo-hoo? You ever go for a Yoo-hoo? They don't really sell those in, like, chains. You can't really find a Yoo-hoo at a CVS. But if you're at the deli, the smoke shop, sometimes they have a little Yoo-hoo, and sometimes you gotta go for it. It's like, it's a beverage like no other. It's kind of chocolate milk. It's kind of water. It's kind of a flat egg cream. I would love to know the origin of Yoo-hoo. Who invented it? What's their story? What were they really looking for in a beverage? And how did they find out about this? Because you know what? I think they're so right. I think they're so right. And I also love an egg cream. My friends make fun of me. They say, you're an old man in a diner. I say, no, I'm a young woman in a diner, and I enjoy a little egg cream. And so what? What about it? But yeah, I'm kind of jealous of LA's lack of seasons. No rain, no cold. Even though you can't really walk around, though, so who really cares about the weather? That's the tragic thing about LA. It would be like so lovely if it was walkable like New York, and you could just go anywhere, you could bounce from place to place, run a bunch of errands, go party, go from place to place to place without taking an Uber. But alas, it's just too big. That is so tragic. Now I kind of feel bad for LA, even though you have gorgeous weather. What, are you staying inside in your car? What, are you driving to the In-N-Out? Eating In-N-Out in your car? Well, there's a whole beautiful world out there. I understand why people in LA get into hiking. Enjoy it and make the most of it. Otherwise, you're just sitting in traffic. My God. Shout out to them, I guess. I need to visit LA sometime when I am making actual money again. Not actual money, but, you know, at least the semblance of money. I gotta visit LA. What would I do there? I would just love to, like, observe David Attenborough style, go out with someone. The thing is, I would love to go out and just be like, hey, friend of mine who lives in LA, just take me on a day of yours. I just want to know what you do. Even though, like, when people come to New York and they do that, oh my God, that's the worst thing ever. When people visit your city and they're like, just take me wherever you go. And it's like, I don't really know where I go. Like, my life isn't really How I Met Your Mother, where I'm, like, going to the same bar every night with the same people. It's a bit more spontaneous. I don't know what I'm doing. And also, there's, like, the whole regular life aspect. It's like, you want to come with me to the dry cleaners? I guess that's kind of the New York experience. Dry cleaning is in a lot of New York movies. And every time I get something dry cleaned, which is rare because it's a whole production. I just feel like a girl in a movie. I love those little moments when you feel like a girl in a movie. That's so exciting. Speaking of life, I guess we're always kind of talking about life. Like, that's what else is there, you know? Maybe death. Speaking of life, I read a very interesting article on Slate titled "Young People Have No Idea What They Used to, What We Used to Do After Work." Hello, what's going on? Let me regale you. Love that word. Love that phrase. And I want to talk about this because, as you may know, I am fascinated. I'm fascinated, A, by the past. I want to know what people used to be doing. I want to talk to those old timers and figure out what life was like back in the day. And I am also fascinated, in general, past, present, future, by people's just day-to-day lives. Like, I always want to know what people are doing moment to moment. I would love to follow every single person around Earth for a day and see what they do. Even though that turns everybody into a terrible tour guide, but I would love to see it. Anyway, so the writer of this, wait, what's his name? Let me give him credit. Shout out to him. It is Dan Kois, K-O-I-S, Kois. That seems right. And T starts the article by discussing that he was speaking with some young coworkers and they were like, shock-a-roo, that he completed a master's degree while he was working full-time. And like, how are you even able to do that? But I admire people who get master's degrees so much. Because that's just love of the game. I mean, your past, your college years, your past when you, like, quote-unquote, have to be in school. You're done with all that, you have a degree, and you say, you know what, let me continue on with this. I'm having fun. Even though I feel like no grad student is having fun. They're always tweeting and complaining about it, which, whatever, I feel bad for you. Grad students don't get financial aid, so whatever, I feel your pain, God bless you. But I really admire that. I wish you could get a master's degree in nothing. That would be so exciting. I think I talked about how I like thought about getting a master's degree, but then I was like, I don't know what I would get it in. And you kind of have to know. You kind of have to know. Even though to me, the point of a master's degree is like, well, you kind of want to put off being in the real world for a while. Let's just extend the whole student experience. Let's go to class. Let's party. Let's figure out what we're going to do next. To me, that's what master's degrees should be about, is like postponing. Just a master's degree where you study nothing, but you're back in school and you don't have to figure out what you want to do yet. That's ideal. And if there's a program like that, I would love to know. There probably is at NYU. God knows. It's probably like, get your master's degree in the study of postponing real life. God. Who is coming up with these classes for NYU, by the way? I would love to be on the board for that. I have some ideas. I want to know, what would I teach at NYU? Or what would I come up with? I would want to teach a class about like pyramid schemes. Maybe the history of Mary Kay. They like to get real specific. The history of Mary Kay. We'll talk about like the Cadillac. We'll talk about the whole operation. I would love to teach maybe a niche fashion history course. Or, you know what I would love? Oh, a class in old Hollywood scandals. That's what I would teach. Get on in here with your degrees that you're making up as you go along, and let's learn about how Mae West was lying about her age. Let's do it. So his younger coworkers were very surprised that he could do that. But back in the day, he was getting off work at 5 p.m., studying at night. It was just after the turn of the millennium. And it gets into what it was like back in the day. I'm just going to say, even though it was the turn of the millennium, I'm just going to say the 90s. Because the 90s is kind of a concept. Sometimes it's like, that wasn't technically the 90s, but like, in a way, it was the 90s, right? If it's back in the day and people were wearing brown heels, it doesn't have to be the 90s to be the 90s. If you're like working a, what's a 90s job? Like a paralegal. If you're a paralegal, that's the 90s. Your life is the 90s. It's just a general concept to me. I don't take it literally. So They get into the one survey suggests that U.S. workers were logged into their employers' networks 11 hours a day in 2021, as opposed to 8 hours a day before the pandemic. My God. And he, along with some other people who were working back then, being about 27 in around 2002, whatever we'll call it, the 90s, they get into what it was like. And let's discuss this. Okay. So somebody says, okay, I would wake up as close as possible to the time I had to leave for work. I mean, we still do that. Hello? There were definitely no emails from bosses or internet checks before going into the office. We didn't even get the internet in our apartment until 2004, famously my favorite year. 2004 is when it really became the 2000s and not the 90s to me. I was hardly there. I was there, but I was kind of checked out. I was like, learning my colors and playing with blocks and stuff. So I didn't really have time to pay attention to that kind of stuff. But I feel like that's when it happened. They're not worrying about like work missing. No one would send you an email at night. This is lovely. Nothing stresses me out more than people who have to like take work calls all the time. That blows my mind when I'm like at dinner with somebody and they're like, hold on, this is work. And it's 8:30 p.m. What in the world? At a certain point, see, when you're younger, it's like, oh, I want all the money in the world. I would do anything. Hello, the American dream. Come on. Ally McBeal. Never seen that show, but I think it was about like a professional working woman. So Ally McBeal, whatever. I want to do that. I'd do anything to live this glamorous, stable life. But then you become an adult and it's like, oh my God, my friend is at drinks answering work emails. I don't know if this is all worth it. I don't know what's going on here. Someone talks about reading the newspaper on the train, the front section of the Post and the Style section, from the Times, the front and business sections, because sports was in the back of business. All right. Very vintage, reading the newspaper on the train. That's lovely. Even though people now, you know, sometimes you're on your phone and you, once you get to a station, you're like, okay, let me load this Sarah Jessica Parker profile on my phone so I can read it in between these stations when I don't have service. So that's kind of like reading a newspaper, but it's not quite as charming. There's just something to it. And now people will read like the New Yorker on the train. And I look at them and I'm like, God, I bet that person is absolutely impossible to be around. But I love that you're reading the New Yorker on the train. That's so fabulous. I bet you're going to go to brunch with your friends. And I bet you're going to say, did you read that New Yorker article? And I bet they're going to say, maybe yes. Maybe they're going to say yes. And that is so, oh my God, by the way, the new season of And Just Like That is coming out today, and I can't wait. I'm going to watch it later. I'm so excited. Those girls, I bet maybe half of them read New Yorker articles. I am just so ready for it. People complain Che Diaz is back. You know what? I love it. I love it. There's something about Che Diaz. I'm like, yes, it's cringy. Yes, they're always embarrassing themselves. Yes, they have this whole romance with Miranda that began when they were like offering Miranda's son weed. But it's just so interesting. And I feel like there has to be kind of an element of cringe to a show for me to really get into it. Whether it's like intentional cringe humor or whether it's like Che Diaz and they're trying to be like, this is some diversity. This is what people outside the gender spectrum are like. They call comedy shows comedy concerts. This is representation and it matters. And you go, you know what? I don't know about that, but I will be tuning in. I sure will be. What else did these kids do in the 90s? They were organizing that night's plans over the phone. I love that. There is something so sexy about taking personal calls at work. I always love in movies where it's like someone, it's like a, you know, an early 2000s rom-com, and someone's at their desk at their journalist job and they're going, oh my God, yeah. And then he did this and the date was crazy. And of course, the boss is like, no, you can't take personal calls at work. And they're like, oh my God, Amanda, I have to go. Stacy's getting on my case. And you go, yes. Yes, I'm enjoying this and I love this and I love all of you and I would die for everybody who made this movie. Congratulations to you all on this masterpiece. I love it. They would make plans through their work email as well, even though God knows people were probably reading that. I mean, I remember when I had to use Slack for stuff, I was like, there's no way that like the boss here can't read this. There's no, not that I was sending anything crazy, but whenever I, well, when I did send stuff that was crazy, because, you know, I was just lying then, I was like, he's going to read this. And they were chill. It was fine. And I'm sure in logical life, they can't actually read it on Slack, but it just sure feels like they can. It sure does. So their days kind of varies. Some of them say it ended at 4, 5, 5:30. Sometimes they would have to stay late. This got me thinking about like, okay, have office jobs, have they gotten more intense or not? Because people always say like office jobs, you know, and I understand this. It's like, oh my God, the hours are so much crazier than they used to be. There used to be like true 9-to-5s. And now you can only do that if you're like working at a huge tech company where they have like a buffet of snacks and stuff like that. But then I see my friends who work real jobs and I'm like, you're out running errands at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday. What's going on here? You have like a high-paying job. You work hard. You have degrees. You're out and about shoe shopping at noon? What's going on? You know what I think has happened, especially like with the famous COVID-19 pandemic and with remote work? I feel like it's just work and life are like merged. When now everyone's kind of like on call, but they can also kind of leave whenever. Like you're getting work emails 24/7, but you're also going to the spa during work hours. I think that's the theme that's happening, for better or for worse. I mean, on one hand, working 9-to-5, it's like, when are you supposed to go to therapy and stuff, right? I never understood people who work real jobs. I'm like, when are your appointments? When do you see your psychiatrist, get those pills prescribed? When are you got to go to the bank? Oh my God. Banks are open from like 9 a.m. to noon. Banks are ridiculous with their whole thing. Boy, oh boy. Anyway, after work, these crazy kids, they would do various activities. Swing dancing, improv class. I famously went to an improv class once, talked about that on here. Very difficult. Very hard to keep a scene going. I was a real scene killer. What else? Street hockey practice. That's really something. Isn't it so 90s to do activities? It's so 90s to, like, have practice for a sport or take a workout class or take an improv class. I should involve myself in something like that. I don't think I will, but I should. I'll keep that idea in my mind. I always liked the idea of doing a workout class because it's so, like, you're doing stuff together. It's a whole thing to do. It's not just like, okay, let me throw some stuff on. Oh my God, those sirens are so loud. Let me throw some stuff on and go to the gym. But it's also, I feel like that would feel too much like middle school gym class, and I'm not prepared for that because I do not have good memories. And I'm sure the people listening to this do not as well. I'm sure that you were, you know, if you didn't have a 15-minute mile, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know what to say. Those kids in gym class, they were running like 7-minute miles. I was like, what in the world is going on here? What kind of elite athletes do we have? Are our joints even fully developed yet? We're 12 years old. What are we doing here? Good for them, though. I'm sure they've kept it up. I don't know if they've kept it up. But good for them if they have. And if not, whatever, you got a track and field medal in high school. Close enough. This is perhaps the craziest part by today's standards. Someone by the name of Sean spelled like scene, of course, says, we really would just drive to someone's house and see what they were doing. You and a couple people would be in the car and you'd be like, let's go by Brian and Mike's. Isn't that absolutely insane? I feel like that's one of the main like cultural differences from now and then is like, I would never, my best friend in the world who like her doorman knows me, I can go up there. I can go to her apartment. They wouldn't even have to call her. Her doorman is very nice. Always smiles at me, asks how I'm doing. I would never just go to her apartment unannounced. That's crazy to me. To see what she's doing, probably, I don't know, probably sewing feathers onto a dress. Like, what is she ever doing? Shout out to her. Love her to death. See what she's doing? That is so wild. That is like, and I love the idea of it. I mean, it's so much more social back then. Now, of course, people talk about like everybody's lonely now. And like, that's why men like kill people and stuff is because like everybody's lonely. I think maybe part of that, not that I don't know why it's all about men, by the way. Hello. Haven't they always been lonely? Haven't men always been people are like, oh, men don't have enough close relationships. When did they? We think men had close relationships in the 50s? What are we talking about? What exactly were they opening up to each other about? Because I don't know if I've heard much about men really making connections like that back in the day. I don't know why this is all about men. But I think part of that is like, we don't just show up. We don't just call. We have to like make plans so much in advance. People are so much less spontaneous. I do think that's kind of tragic. Even though like, if you're my friend, don't show up to my apartment unannounced. How dare you? But I love the idea of it. And I think it's tragic that we don't do that anymore. Don't do it. Don't do it. But I hate that we don't anymore. Don't do it. I wish we still did. Don't start. You know what I mean? People didn't flake as much, obviously. You couldn't just send a text wherever and be like, I'm not coming. No, it's so easy for people to flake. What else? You didn't know if somebody was going to be late. They couldn't just text you their ETA. They couldn't share their location. So you kind of had to bring your New Yorker or whatever, your little novel that you were reading. So you could maybe read it at the bar, wait for your late, irresponsible friend to show up. Oh, here's a big one. The arguments you were having when you're like, oh my God, how old is Robert De Niro now? Whatever, who cares? When you start arguing about that, what is he in his 80s? I don't know. Now you can just go on google.com and you can google.com it. Back in the day, never settled. And I kind of love that as well, even though it's a bit unsatisfying because now you could just look it up. But that's kind of the best way to make friends. And I still recommend that, is if you're like in a bar and your friend is like, did you know that, I don't know what's a fact. Did you know that the first Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz like got all fucked up from the makeup? Whatever, I guess that's a fun fact people talk about. And then you're like, no, he didn't. He was wearing, you know, cruelty-free Jeffree Star cosmetics. And your friend goes, no, that is not the case. And now you could just look it up. But to turn to the person next to you and be like, settle an argument. Do you know anything about this topic? Give us your opinion. That is a great way to connect with people. And there's nothing better than doing that when you've like been drinking and you're like, of course you're arguing about something stupid. And it's like, let's get another opinion. We get to talk to somebody and perhaps I get to be right. That's really fun. I feel like to make friends now, you kind of have to pretend it's the 90s just for a minute. You have to kind of pretend you don't have the internet. You have to be like, I don't know, I guess nobody does this, but to be like, what's the time? Might do something. That's kind of something, because then somebody's like, why the hell don't you have the time? And then you could be like, oh my God, I dropped my phone in the bathtub, which famously happened to me once, tragically. I dropped my phone in the bathtub. I don't have a working phone anymore. I don't know what time it is. And then they could go, oh my God, did you use a bath bomb? And then you say, oh my God, bath bombs are like $6 each. What do we do? I mean, 15 at Lush. Ridiculous in this economy. They also talk about watching television. One of them is like, we used to watch Seventh Heaven when we came home, not because it was good. Jeez Louise, not because it was good, just because it was on. Seventh Heaven was just on. And that's how it used to work. There were so few decisions back then. But I feel like it is kind of still a young thing to be like, okay, I'm going to find what I have on streaming. Like, that's the reason people talked about how, like, Succession is like, oh my God, one of the most written about shows on all these sorts of websites and publications in the modern time. Hardly anyone watched the finale. And by hardly anyone, I mean like millions of people. But hardly anyone watched the finale compared to like The Big Bang Theory. Like, people are watching like The Good Doctor and like Young Sheldon. And that's what America is here for. Because so many people, they just have cable. And they're just watching what's on. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy to think about. We live in such a bubble where it's like, everybody's watching Succession. We're all watching the other two, which I'll get to later, my media of the week. These like families, these older people in the rest of America, honey, Young Sheldon all the way. Isn't that wild to think about? Like, we kind of know nothing about like culture. We live in such a small corner of the culture. We don't know what's going on in The Good Doctor. Even though we kind of do, because everybody was posting clips of it on Twitter, looks absolutely insane and quite offensive. I don't know why it hasn't been like, somebody needs to call that out, The Good Doctor. I'm sure they have, whatever. It's not going to be on the cut, so who's reading it? And then they would also, what else was going on? They would have long phone calls with people just while they were like pacing or doing chores. A 30, 45-minute call with someone. That's a big part of your night. You tuck the phone under your chin while you wandered the apartment. I could stay on the phone with a friend while we were both doing chores, whatever. Now, if someone calls me on the phone, I'm like, how violent of you to call me? Isn't that the mark of a true friend? Is like when you could just call them out of nowhere? I have, like, a few people in my life, and one of them is my mother, who I'm like, either of us could just call each other out of nowhere. I have like a handful. Like, if assuming we don't have plans soon, assuming there's nothing crazy that just happened, just to call and chat, that's a rarity. And that's a beautiful relationship in this modern world. That's kind of the beautiful thing about FaceTime, is that you can kind of just do nothing. You can hang out on FaceTime for hours. It's like, whatever, I'm folding my laundry. I'm doing my homework. I'm, what else do I do? I don't know, doing my stretches. And you don't even need to talk to the person. You already know they're there. You could see them. You don't have to do anything on FaceTime. That's honestly, what a great invention. Congratulations, Steve Jobs, whoever. What a way for people to connect. Anyway, that was a fun way to learn a little bit about the 90s. I love stuff like that. I want so many more pieces like this. I want to know exactly what you were doing in the 90s or the theoretical 90s. Take me through a day. What's up? What were you watching? What were you doing? What were the plans you were making over the phone? Oh, I live for it. Anyway, next, you know I have to talk about the missing submarine. You know, I don't want to have to, but I have to. It's the hot topic. Everyone's discussing it. Maybe not everyone. Maybe it's another Succession thing. Maybe everybody's talking about the plot of the medical drama they're watching. But everybody in my circle is talking about the missing submarine. Let's discuss this. If you haven't heard about this, and I'm sure you have, let me catch you up, because I did some research. And by that, I mean I wrote down 5 bullet points from an article. Okay, so there was a submarine that took 5 people, 5 fellas, to the Titanic wreckage. It was going to be a little tour of that. It cost $250,000 each. It was a bunch of, you know, richies. I don't know why they didn't just perhaps watch the movie. It's a great movie. It is sad because the ship sinks. I mean, spoiler alert. So that's kind of a sad aspect of it. By the way, when people talk about the Titanic and they're like, there was enough room for Jack on that door, the door would have sank. Relax. God. What do you think, she murdered him? The door would have said, yes, there was enough room. What about buoyancy? Let's talk about buoyancy for once in our goddamn lives. Yeah, I feel like this would not be worth it. To see the wreckage of the Titanic underwater. What? Watch the movie. There's a famous movie about it. There was a lot of work put into that. Lots of people. Probably cost a lot. If we were to bring the Titanic up to the shore and really like stick it in a museum somewhere with a good amount of space, probably. I think that would be worth seeing, right? Better than Madame Tussauds. But as long as it's underwater, I don't know if it's worth, it's like 2.5 miles below the surface. Is that worth going to? I don't know about that. Even like abandoned stuff that's not 2.5 miles under the sea, it's not as exciting as I wish it was. Like the smallpox hospital, that like the ruins of a smallpox hospital on Roosevelt Island, you go there and it's like, oh, I could have looked at a picture of this. Like it's ruins, so you can't go into it. You can just kind of sit on a bench and be like, oh my God, people had smallpox in there. That's crazy. Like, that's about it. Anyway, the submarine went missing. It lost contact like an hour and 45 minutes into the trip. And I mean, yesterday at some point, there was like 24 hours of oxygen left. I'm sure they are running out at this point. And this particular submarine, let me tell you, there had been problems in the trips before. Some even required like cancellations. They had kind of known maybe this was a little sketchy. Maybe it wasn't the best way to, I mean, there probably is no good way to go down to the wreckage of the Titanic. But maybe it wasn't the best day trip. Maybe there was something problematic in there. So now they're hearing banging noises every half hour, which is kind of good. I mean, it probably means they're still alive, but also, I guess, underwater, you can't really tell where noise is coming from. You don't really know, so it's hard to track them down just based on that. I don't really know how they even know that there's noise, but I guess someone's taken a swim and hearing some shit. So this is, like, horrifying at this point. These people, apparently now they're going to start experiencing like organ failure because of the lack of oxygen. They might experience hypothermia because they're way deep down in the sea. And this company was famously like, you know what? We're taking a bit of an experimental approach. We're just going to experiment a bit and have some fun. And you don't really want that for someone who's like taking you to the ocean floor. That's not really you want an experimental approach if you're like an artist, right? If you're working on a painting, you maybe even want an experimental approach if you like have some disease that's definitely going to kill you and there are no other options. Then it's like, okay, let's get experimental because that's life or death and you're leaning towards death and you might as well see what's working out. But to just do that for a little trip, I think is maybe a tad questionable. I don't know about that. Also, apparently they're driving it with like a video game controller. I don't know. You know what? I blame gamers. These gamers being like, these are good real life skills and we have hand-eye coordination and this can be applied to the real world. Enough. No, it's not going too well. It's not looking too hot, video games in the real world. If you want to play them, play them. Let's not act like it's all this. Ugh, I hate those kinds of people. Anyway, Twitter is kind of going crazy with this. Lots of jokes about these people being trapped in the submarine. Some people are horrified. Some people are like, you know what? Good, they're rich and they're paying $250,000 to do this. There's so many memes and such. I mean, can you imagine, like, if they get out of there, which to be honest, looks unlikely. Can you imagine like logging onto Twitter and being like, oh, I bet this is like when they rescued those boys from underground. Do you remember that? Or like, did they rescue a baby from a well at some point a while ago? I don't know. I bet this is like that. I bet they're so relieved. And then you log onto Twitter and it's like, me when I'm in a submarine and I'm dying. And it's not like these people were forced to go. Like, this isn't some sort of crazy human rights violation. Like, they paid to go. It's also crazy, though. There should be, speaking of, like, NYU classes that should exist, here's a good little niche one. There should be a class on, like, how Twitter responds to, like, historical events and disasters. Because it's truly wild. And I would love to see in history books in the future, just, like, let's talk about what people were tweeting. Let's talk about that. You know what it reminds me of is when January 6, 2021, when I was on TikTok Live and people started saying like, oh my God, people are storming the Capitol. So I brought out my little like half tablet, half laptop because I was in fashion design at the time. And I said, you know what? Let's watch live. And I pulled up CNN, Jake Tapper, gorgeous, gorgeous man. Shout out to him. And I literally just held it up for like hours. And like thousands of people watched. That was my most popular live ever. That was possibly the most Gen Z thing I've ever done in my life. But I think that should be in history books. We should be asking, how did people respond to the people storming the Capitol and, you know, breaking into Nancy Pelosi's office and, I don't know, going through her purse, whatever they were doing in there. And it should be a screenshot of me on TikTok Live going, this is crazy. Are you guys seeing this? Oh my God. And people commenting, oh my God, did you see what Azalea Banks posted? Like, that's history. That is American history right there. What is going on? These sirens, are they trying to find the submarine? Anyway, I think the lesson here is that rich people need to learn that you can't have, like, the best of everything. You know what I mean? Like, not everything that you can spend money on is, there isn't, like, a luxury version of everything. There's no way to spend a ton of money to, like, go in a submarine that is made out of whatever, paper mache, and go miles down in the ocean and be fine. Like, money can do a lot. It can't do that. I feel like this is the same idea with, like, drugs, where rich people will be like, well, you know, I'm rich. I'm just going to spend a bunch of money on drugs. And it's like, well, there's no, like, bespoke luxury drug service. Like, there really is. You're talking to some sketchy dealer. You don't know what's in it. God knows what's going to happen. You also can't do that with a submarine that doesn't work. $250,000, that's not gonna save. That must have been a hell of a waiver they signed. I mean, my God, I've signed crazy waivers just to, like, view an exhibit at the Museum of Sex. Like, this must really be something. But I'm wondering, maybe this is gonna be a Titanic sequel. And I wonder what that would be like. Because I don't know. Is there a love story there? Do we think any of the guys fell in love in that submarine? I don't know. It's entirely possible. I mean, I think the way to do it is, like, I assume these people are, like, fascinated with the Titanic in some sense. Maybe there's a scene where they're, like, reading about the Titanic and they're like, oh my God, I really resonate with this person. Maybe they died, maybe they survived, maybe they made it onto a door, maybe there wasn't enough buoyancy, you know, lock them up. I really relate to this person. Oh, interesting. And then they go in the submarine and they're like, oh my God, I'm thinking about that. I'm just like them. Maybe it's like flashbacks of the Titanic. And they're like, wasn't there a movie with Meryl Streep about being depressed and hanging out? And they were... It followed the generations of women in different times. I think that's the way to do it with this next movie. What's his name? James Cameron? Didn't he do Avatar 2? I mean, Avatar T-O-O. But also Avatar 2, which, by the way, never watching. I was like, how long was that? 3.5 hours long? Ridiculous. I remember watching the original and being like, I know I'm, whatever, 7, but I'm not feeling this. So I guess that's my pitch for the movie. There should be some tie-in with the original Titanic, some flashbacks. Maybe we're following two different love stories. Maybe Celine Dion will come up with a whole new song. Shout out to her. You know what? Speaking of rich people, I guess this isn't like, you know, billionaires. I've been noticing an odd trend. I don't even know why I want to talk about this, but Trend Watch. So I tragically live in Midtown, and I live near a bunch of, I mean, they don't live here, but they work here. Lots of office workers, lots of people, girls in flats and knee-length dresses, and guys in blue button-downs. I have noticed a trend. For some reason, recently, they are all injured. They are all injured. You walk through Midtown, you look at the where do they eat? I don't know, salad. You go to the deli, everybody is on a crutch. Everybody is on a boot. Everybody has a sling on their arm. What is going on? What is injuring these poor bankers? This is what I'm curious about and worried for them about. You would think it'd be like the wild partying artists who are getting hurt all the time. What are these people up to that they're getting... What's the matter with them? And I know, like, Wall Street guys, obviously, they party, but it's more like... Their partying is more just like drugs and drinking and just kind of hanging out. They're not like going to crazy raves, right? Like these types of people, they party, but in the sense of, you know, when people say party to just mean they do cocaine. They do cocaine. They don't really go to a lot of parties. What is going on with these people? Is it pickleball? I think I might blame pickleball. The hot new sport. By the way, is this not the first time in our lives that there's been a hot new sport? Who's in charge of that? I'd love to know. Are these all pickleball injuries? I would not be surprised. I think this is like the adult version of, you know, when kids in high school would always tear their ACL? These were the same kids who were like getting 7-minute miles. They would always be tearing their ACL. There was always some, I don't even know what that is. Is that like the Achilles heel? I don't know. Maybe. They were always doing that though. I literally tweeted, because I have a theory. I have a theory that in high school, there are two types of people. You were either in regular, like emotional therapy for your emotional issues and wounds, or you were in physical therapy because you tore your ACL. Those were the two types of people in high school. And I think you could take a wild guess where I was, because I was doing absolutely no activities that would even affect my ACL. I don't know what it was or what it is. I don't even think I put weight on it in my lifetime. Never done it. I think that's what these adult kids, they're tearing their ACL. So I will continue to be on Trend Watch, and I will continue to observe these people. Maybe I'll approach one of these people and say, how the hell did this happen? Because I know you're not having a whole lot of fun in life. What's going on with you? What's happening? Let's answer a couple questions. Okay. Somebody asked on Instagram at Let Me Ruin Your Life Pod, how to balance school, work, and actually having fun. Parentheses, want to party. 2 is spelled with the number. Love that. Love that choice. But don't have the energy. Oh my God. This has been a struggle for me recently, now that I'm working full-time. I'm in those summer classes that are killing me to death. It's hard to find the time and it's hard to find the energy. You get home from work and it's like, oh my God, I just did so much stuff. I was just there for 8 hours. That's got to be against some sort of labor law. That's awful. 8 whole hours? That's almost 10. Anyway, I feel like the key is you got to have days where you work hard and days where you like play hard. especially with school. I have days where I'm like, okay, this is school day for me. I'm doing all this. I'm getting all this done. Maybe I'll go out later. But for the most part, this is my moment, and I'm going to do this so I can have fun later. You got to work hard so you can play hard. Isn't that so true when people say that? That's so true. I don't want to do it, but it's so true. Here's a tip. If you go directly from like school or work to going out, you have a lot more energy. Because the thing is, if I'm going to work and I work those 8 hours, if you can even believe it, and then I go home, it's over for me. I'm in for the night. I'm tired. I want to shower. I want to eat dinner. And I want to watch my stories. But if I go straight from there to a little bar, oh, all the energy in the world. The key there, you got to bring a change of clothes, you know, bring a little cocktail dress and some heels. And then you're going to have like a big ass bag. So you have to find somewhere to put it. So either go somewhere with room, you know, maybe an Irish pub, somewhere with room, not like a club, or a good place with coat check. Love a coat check. Also, you got to avoid those hangovers if you're going to be working hard. You can't be partying all night, hungover all day. So, of course, drink water throughout the night. Eat. Get a slice in between bars. Eat it outside. Hopefully that'll help you the next morning. And then the next morning, you got to do electrolytes, maybe some Pedialyte, an Advil, of course, if you have a headache. A B vitamin helps. That helps get your, it helps get yourself together. Get a B complex. It'll help. And then if I have to get stuff done, God knows caffeine. Of course, caffeine. Oh, that hangover exhaustion, the worst. Also, if you're always like exhausted or busy at night, this isn't very party girl of me to say, but ain't nothing wrong with a little daytime fun. I guess this isn't that fun. Go for a walk. Sometimes it is. Go for a scenic walk. Go see a movie. I want to see that new Jennifer Lawrence movie that looks like it's from the early 2000s. Love that. What else are daytime activities? Go to a flea market. Go get lunch. Get a latte. That's another girl in a movie moment, carrying around a latte. Are you kidding me? And yeah, have some fun. It's hard to balance. I mean, it's hard to balance already like work and fun in the first place, but to add school to the mix, ooh. It can be exhausting, and I stand with you in solidarity. Next question. Okay. What to do when there is a sexy man nearby who I want, but other girls want him too? Okay. Here's what you gotta do. I mean, of course, if you wanna flirt, flirt. If you wanna flirt, flirt. But as I always say, you gotta make it a fun thing. Have some fun with it. Don't make it a competition. Don't go up to him and be like, okay, let me take my notes from The Art of Seduction. I mean, maybe, if you really want to go for it. But I say, you don't have to take those cliff notes and be like, all right, I'm going to win with all these other girls. I'm going to get him. Maybe you will. I'm sure you will. You know, they're easy. But flirt for fun. It's not a competition. Never fight for a man. You gotta let go like the Buddhists do. Let go of the outcome and just say, I'm gonna have fun. I'm gonna be a little flirtatious, whatever. Catch his eye. But this is gonna be a fun thing. Sometimes you are here to make friends. You know what I mean? Sometimes you are. And you don't want that guy who, like, wants to see you compete or, like, is okay with you putting other girls down or anything like that to get to him. I never understand when girls on those dating reality shows, they do this all the time. where there'll be some sort of competition and they'll go up to a guy and be like, listen, I know you're into that other girl, but please choose me. Please choose me. She's awful. She sucks. She's the worst. She's here for the wrong reasons. By the way, who gives a fuck? Nobody's there for the right reasons. Even if you're there to marry somebody who you've known for 3 weeks, you're there for the wrong reasons. You're insane. But I'm always like, why would you want that guy who meets a girl who's like, please choose me. Those other girls suck. And he's like, let me go for this one. Let me go for this one. She doesn't like other women. She thinks that I'm some sort of prize to be won. That I choose her. So keep it chill. Don't compete. And at the end of the day, if there's a sexy man nearby, just admire, right? Just enjoy. You don't have to go to the store and buy everything you see. Sometimes you can just window shop. Sometimes you really can. I think that's why people think like dating and attraction is so stressful, is because everyone they see, they're like, I want that. I must have them. And sometimes you just want to look at them and be like, nice forearms. Interesting. Anyway, last but not least, let's get to my media of the week. I've been kind of skimping out on these, but I have a couple things today. Because first of all, I read a book called High Maintenance by Jennifer Bell, which is like, this is so random, but I've been thinking about like, we keep recommending each other the same books of like, oh, this is what's hot right now. This is what people are talking about. And it's like, no, what did you dig out of a corner of a thrift store that's like been out of print for decades that you loved? I want to know about that. I randomly found this in the dusty corner of a used bookstore. It's like a random book from 2001. It's taken me a while to read it because I was only reading it on the train, which is lovely. It's like my little zen time. I have like a half-hour commute to work, and I could just pull out my book, read my book, have that time. Makes me feel very mature. Makes me feel like I'm 40. Kind of like when you're reading a book by the pool or by the beach, and you're like, oh my god, I could be tanning and drinking and partying right now, but I'm reading a book. Even though technically you kind of are tanning and drinking because, of course, you're in the sun and, of course, you have a drink next to you and, of course, you're drinking it. But you're also reading a book, which is very mature and very glamorous. I also started this book on the train, which is very brave of me. It's one of the bravest thing. It's one of the bravest things you could do is start a book on the train, because to be in the middle of a book, people are like, oh, come on, she's been reading. We know about her. She has been reading her book. That's just who she is. She's a reader. But then, of course, you start a book on the train, and you just know everyone around you is like, oh my god, she's a novice. Come on. I bet this is her first time reading a book on the train. And I know I might sound crazy saying that. You might be thinking, nobody's thinking that. Nobody cares. But then when I see somebody start a book on the train, I think, I bet this is the first book they've ever read. I bet they're trying to do it in public for a reason. I bet there are Leah Michelle rumors circulating about this fella or this broad. Anyway, this book is kind of offensive at times. I'll tell you that right out the gate, because I do feel weird. I mean, I don't really feel weird about it, but I know sometimes when you recommend something where there's like some kind of offensive lines, people are like, oh my god, I bet you are this character. I bet this author is this morally gray character and you're supporting them. Listen, it gets a little dicey, right? At one point, the main character works for a judge who's visually impaired. It gets a little sketchy. Whatever. Doesn't mean anyone is the character. Let's take a breath. Anyway, this book is about this, like, woman in her mid to late 20s who just got divorced. She was living in this beautiful apartment, takes place in New York, and she's like, oh god, I have to get a job now. She gets a job reading for that judge, and then she becomes a real estate agent, which has always been a field I'm fascinated by. I'm so glad, even though I've hardly watched Selling Sunset, I'm glad people made a reality show of it. What a fascinating job. Because it's like kind of a real job, but kind of not. It's kind of like being an actor or something because you don't really have to have a degree and you work on your own time. But it's also people treat it like a regular job, even though it kind of isn't. Maybe I should become a real estate agent. That's always a great backup plan, even though I'm sure it's hard. You always hear about those successful ones. I wonder what the success rate is with those real estate agents. If you've ever given it a shot, let me know. How was it? How was the commish? Get any commish? So she does that. She starts also dating a fella who is not single, which always fascinates me. Not in a good way that I would ever want to do that. But when characters do want to do that, I'm like, oh my God, I can't say I've ever been tempted in my life, even outside of like the whole morals and ethics of it, of your like participating in the cheating of it all. It's like, why do you want to be with someone who's with somebody else? Who's that not picky that you're like, well, he has a wife, but I have a vacancy in my love life. So, oh well. There is a line in here, however, in terms of that relationship that I did find very romantic. It talks about they were like having sex, making love, and the guy swallows one of her earrings, and she goes, I loved that he swallowed my earring. I wanted to feed him the other one. And for some reason, I was like, okay, that might be the most romantic thing I've ever heard. Feeding someone an earring because you liked that they swallowed the first one so much. You can't deny that's romance right there. It's a weird book. Okay, it's a weird book. It's almost like My Year of Rest and Relaxation-esque, except the protagonist is like actually doing stuff and she isn't asleep the whole book. But it has this like morally questionable, beautiful, privileged protagonist who is always saying all sorts of crazy shit and is in like a terrible relationship. I enjoyed it. It's a very like middle brow novel, which is what I've been saying should come back in style. Enough with the either we're reading Colleen Hoover or we're reading some like crazy intellectual thing. Let's do a little middle brow. This isn't like exactly a beach read. It's not really, aren't those considered like lighthearted? But it could be a beach read. Something like that. Maybe not a luxury beach, but I don't know, the Rockaways. The other thing that I have been very into recently, media-wise, as I've said, I started and have torn through most of the other two on HBO Max, now known as just Max, and it is so good. I've been meaning to watch the show for forever. If you haven't heard about it, it's about like a Justin Bieber type character who becomes famous, but the show centers on the other two kind of underachiever siblings. One is like used to be a dancer, kind of in between jobs, and the other is a guy trying to make it as an actor. And it's so good. It's so funny. Molly Shannon plays a mother and she is sensational. Sensational. I love that character. And I love that the characters are like, I don't know, it's a satire, it's a satirical show, but it's not super morally up in arms about the whole thing of like child stardom and all that, even though it easily could be. Obviously a very morally questionable business, but the mother who Molly Shannon plays, oh my God, I love the character. She's not like a stage mom. She's very kind of like, oh, my son is famous? Yay, I love him. There's also the kid's manager who does all sorts of crazy stuff. He's like dyeing the kid's tongue so it'll be more pink, but it's like lighthearted. You're not watching it and being like, oh my God, those poor souls. Which, once again, you easily could make a show like that, but that's more of a documentary moment. Let's have that as a documentary moment. I think this is a fun little comedy show. And I love a story about an underachiever. Especially the juxtaposition between this like kid who gets famous, so rich, so fast, and his siblings who are like, we're in our 30s and don't know what to do with our lives. Fabulous. I love that. It's kind of perfect because I love stories about stardom. I love the stars. But also, I love an underachiever. And I love somebody whose life is a mess, and I want more stories about them. So funny. Love it. And that is my media of the week. And that is all for today, folks. I have to go find that missing submarine. And I will talk to you guys next time. Bye!